You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, hello and welcome to You Cannot Be Serious, the Sam Newman and Don Scott podcast. I am clearly not Sam Newman. My name's Fiona Byrne and I'm sitting in here today joined by Don Scott and joined by Sam Newman to discuss what has been going on in their lives today. And also we have a lovely guest, Max. Max is back from his international jaunt.
Yes, it's very good to have you back, Max. Thank you for coming.
Hang on. I've been here for 4 years. Why haven't I stepped up to the hosting role? And you, who invited you in?
You've been usurped, Don. Sorry
by
about
who?
This. By me. And Sam, in fact, has pulled the trigger on this.
Yeah. What do you mean pulled the trigger?
Oh, you don't know what that term
is.
No,
I don't.
Don, when I said I mightn't be here because I'm having a small procedure done to my ankle.
It's a major one.
When I said, that's another thing I told to Fiona. Don't let you keep interrupting. I said, Don, I mightn't be here. And you said, oh, well, we won't do the podcast. I said, yes, we will. You're quite capable of speaking to the microphone and starting this off. No, we're not going to do it. And I said, well, we are going to do it. And so I rang our good friend Fiona Byrne up, and Phoebe, as we call her. And she said, yes, I'd like to come. I'll be happy to come in. Didn't say she'd like to. She'd be happy to do you a favour.
So you don't like to come in. You're just happy to be
well,
here,
Fiona. She didn't say, yes, I'd like to. She said,
jumped at the chance.
She said, I'll be happy to do it because, Don, you're incapable. You shit yourself. And I said, you're going to have to introduce this and say exactly what Fiona said. And now you've got all
well,
the shit.
Well, I've prepared notes.
Well, go ahead. I'm just
no,
here.
No, so we've done the opening. I'm shitty, so I'll just...
I'm refereeing already. Max, help me.
I can't believe, you know, back yourself, Don. That's great confidence to take into a job interview that you're going to this afternoon. You're in a three-piece suit with a scarf in your breast pocket.
Max, thank you for bringing this up. Don, before we go any further, you need to explain what on earth it is you're wearing.
If we were to bring this up to date, we could just pan around or just stand up and let the viewers or listeners see.
Fiona,
but we're in the arc. This podcast is in the arc. We've got to bring it up to...
Answer the question.
2022.
What are you wearing?
Well, I've got an interview this afternoon.
Where?
At Hawthorne.
For what?
For Hall of Fame. And so I have got to be dressed properly.
Are you being inducted into it?
Yes, Max.
Ah, yes. Yes. Right.
Oh, well, yes. There we are. So Don, I've said this many times before. If it's Hawthorne and horses, you're fantastic. You can speak at will about everything. You've got no other knowledge other than Hawthorne and horses. So here we're on to one of your favourite topics. Have you relented in Jeff Kennett now?
That's old news, Johnny. You are six months behind the scenes.
All is forgiven.
But more importantly, Fiona, why don't you ask him about his leg?
No, you didn't answer the question. And actually, it's not 6 months out of date. Thank you for bringing it up, Sam, because I don't know the answer to that question either. Have you and Jeff Kennett settled your issues?
No. I think they're compromised. There's a thing called compromise. Anyway, I haven't moved.
That's not an answer. Has Jeff Kennett and you shaken hands or shook hands and said...
No, we haven't shaken hands.
Oh, well, have you looked at it? Have you had a conversation with him and said, yes,
no.
Jeff? He said, Don, I want you to come and be part of the player. I've got to induct you into the Hall of Fame. Will you come down? He said, no, not unless you get a few things clear with me. And what would you like to get cleared on? Has that happened?
Yes, it has. But there was no conversation. There was no conversation. Somebody presented my case.
There was a middleman.
So you were incapable, Don, of going to the... former Premier of this state, the President of Northern Football Club, is the man you are, and look him in the eye and say, Jeff, I've had some differences, but I'm willing to bury the head. Don, well, that's bloody good of you. Come and be part of the show because it's Hawthorne and it's bigger than the individual. Something like that, Don?
Yes, Johnny.
Well, give us some detail, Fiona.
Exactly. Who brokered this peace deal between the two of you?
Fiona, it is 6 months old.
Don, oh, answer the question. Answer the question.
Get up with it. I think that somebody on the committee did. I don't know what happened.
Someone had to do your bidding.
Yes, I think so.
You weak, vapid clown.
Yes, okay. Now listen, I'm getting embarrassed here. Let's change the subject.
No, talk through it, Don. Talk through it.
Very awkward.
No, talk through it. So exactly what's happening? Are you a legend? Are you you're a Hall of Fame member? Give us some more insight into this.
I didn't realise you played football.
I played with your father, against your father, Max.
Don, we're on a podcast to try and break some stuff that no one else chats about.
Well, I've got a real ripper break here.
I've got a couple. That's why I came in. I want to know, and Fiona, and so does Max. Max doesn't even know you played. People of your generation, our generation, they don't even know I'd ever played football. They only know me for being on a television program. Now, Don, I want you to tell us, is you and Jeff Kennett met with a view?
No.
So you got someone else to meet him for you?
They volunteered. I'm not pushing this.
Who volunteered to represent you?
Somebody on the committee took up
the
cudgel.
Do you have a lawyer or an attorney or what?
I don't know.
And they said, Jeff, would you actually spack down a little and have Don join us for a great function because he's been a stalwart?
The problem is I won't be at the function. I'll be up in Queensland. Hence the interview.
Why don't you cancel
the
Queensland?
Do you want to come to Queensland?
What?
You're doing nothing. You want to come to Queensland?
Why don't you cancel the Queensland trip?
I've been carting him around in a wheelchair. Don, like Little Britain.
Don, when is the function? What date is the function?
I don't. I honestly don't know. It's when I'm away, Fiona.
Well, why? Can you cancel?
He's got a bad memory.
I agree with
Sam. I'm not
cancelling. Can you cancel?
I'm going to Queensland.
Don, you just asked me last week, I think I'm going to go to Queensland. You've never had this plan for more than a week.
I've just got an abscess on the tooth. I've just had my ankle fixed. I mean,
and you're going to ride a horse in Queensland.
I'll ride two of them.
Don, you've got to be put in a facility shortly.
Same with you. Do you want to join me?
I'm happy to come into a facility with you. You are a congenital idiot. Now, Don.
Hang on. What did we say when you walked through the door? We didn't call you congenital. We called you a fucking idiot.
No, we didn't, actually. No.
What?
We welcomed Sam here. No,
did
we did not. You may have thought that in your head, but we definitely didn't say that to your face.
I don't. Fiona, please.
Open that door. Holy mackerel.
Don. You have not had this trip to Queensland planned for more than a week. You're injured.
The truck's been packed for 2 years.
You're injured. Well, now rest my case. You're injured and you're ill, and you have just been given you've just been given the honour of being inducted as a legend into the Hall of Fame, a club that you captained to a premiership. You've had a public running blue with the president, Jeff Kennett, and now the olive branch has been extended, and you, in a week's notice of organising a trip to go to Queensland, have said, no, I won't be here. I'll be driving a truck up to a rodeo I'm going to. And they said, please, Don, could you put it off? There'll be other rodeos. You heard that? This is not my first rodeo. Have you heard that saying? This is not your first rodeo. You don't get inducted into a Hall of Fame or the sporting institution every day of your life. Cancel the silly fucking trip and unpack the truck. The truck will be delighted it's been packed up for 2 years. You can get fresh shit into it. You are a fool. You are a fool, Don.
Don, your thoughts?
I want to know about his leg.
Oh, Don, answer, please.
The function is going to be held later in the year, if you really want to know.
You said it clashed with your trip.
That's right. They're milking it. It's called milking.
What?
There are two functions.
You're running your club down, Don.
I am not.
What are they milking? What's the matter if they milk it? They're trying to get a bit of support and a bit of up and aboutness at Hawthorn because they're not going. Are they going that well on the field? I don't know how they're going on the field.
They're a very happy team.
Thank you, Max, you idiot. No, Don, seriously, man, this is why we do a podcast, for us to elicit some information out of the people on it who genuinely might be interested out there listening in listening land. I've got a few shout-outs, won't do them now because
It's amazing how you sound more like Don and the former Premier than you do yourself. Very interesting.
Well, actually, speaking of yourself, Sam, we better get an update on your ankle. Could we check in on what's happened?
I've just had a small operation on my ankle, taken some bolts and hardware out of it, which I thought was irritating it. And so that's my ankle. That's fine.
When is it going to be amputated?
Don.
Well, the way he's going, he should have had it up. This is why he's in trouble now.
Don.
Had he have listened to the doctor in the first place, kept your foot up, you wouldn't have the pain. Everything would have been honky-dory.
Is my foot up as we speak?
Yeah, but how long are you going to... 6 weeks.
Don't worry about my ankle. I'm here. And
you're going to look funny with a prosthetic leg walking around the golf course.
Don.
You could play both sides of the fugitive. Oh, it was an arm, not a leg. Sorry.
Fiona...
Sam.
You shouldn't let... That is ridiculous, that what he just said. Do you understand the logic of a fully grown man who's been inducted in and he just won't even answer it? Well, you're here.
Listen, a more important issue is your health and your well-being going forward, and you've deflected this. The ankle, you've got it up now. You should be home.
Do you know what the trouble with you is? You think you're not smart enough to be half smart. You think that by deflecting all the questions to you and saying, oh, how about your ankle, you think that that's being sort of clever. You're just being a buffoon. Answer the questions about why you're on this podcast and why you're going to snub your nose at Hawthorne when they put on a function for you. You've dressed up yourself up like a pox doctor's assistant. That's the obvious thing to say.
Clerk.
You dressed yourself up like a bloody pox doctor's clerk. Asswipe, and you're going down there to say, no, you're going to have to change the function because I've got important business up trying to ride a horse which I've planned for 4 days. Now, Don, you're going to really make me annoyed soon.
Oh, really?
Well, no, you're pathetic.
Oh.
You're a pathetic man.
Now, listen, who's looking after you?
Oh. I'm stepping between the two of you at this point.
You've got my health, is it?
Yes.
That's the...
Right, I'm going to ask
you're
a couple of...
You're looking at me as though I'm a chemistry set or something. I've got a leg here, I'm at top, and it's fine. Now shut up.
Sam, we are so glad that you're here this morning. I want to ask a few questions. Let's move on from your Hawthorne situation and from your ankle, Sam. Okay, boys, what do we think? Victoria's pandemic declaration. It was due to end next week. It's now being extended for 3 months.
Yes, thoughts? October 12th.
What? But hang on, it's a state of emergency. That's been voted through. What's new? They can do whatever they like, whenever they want. Don't you realise this was passed... back in December, January of last year, I think. He can just continually roll this over.
Well, this declaration was set to end at midnight on the 12th of July, and now it's been extended until the 12th of October. It's interesting, in the press release that came out yesterday, there is a line that says it's going to be looked at again or perhaps looked for reassessment at the end of winter. So I kind of wonder if that's not them giving themselves some flex to actually completely lift what regulations are left in place. And to be honest with you, it's really masks on public transport and in rideshare vehicles. That appears to me to be the only real doctrine that's still in place.
The only review Dan Andrews has is he puts an alarm on for the 11th of October at about 11 p.m. at night, and just a little reminder to extend it a few more months. That's about it. He'll just keep extending it. I don't know anything about politics.
It's a political ploy. They have lied from the start of the pandemic. They have given us misinformation. It's not based on scientific data or doctor's evidence. There is so much controversy overseas about what's going on. Most of the European countries have lifted all the bans and all the restrictions. It is an absolute power play. It is nonsense. The masks have been proven do nothing. It is just sheer projection by a dishonest and untrustworthy government that have ruined this state, dragged it to its knees, and put people and lives in jeopardy and businesses out of action.
Why hasn't more
incompetent
publicity been given to the fact that four ministers are retiring, senior ministers who won't stand at the next election? His PR machine behind him has watered this down. The Liberals, the opposition, should have made more of this. And he's and I would say that they had ambitions.
What
and
about your friend, Miss Crozier?
Well, she's got to lift
a
game.
Well, you had designs on her at one stage when
she's
got to
lift a game together with Matthew Guy.
Why don't you speak to her like you speak to Jeff? Or go down and speak to her.
You can't speak to a lady in that fashion.
Oh, so he said, well, you don't have to be abusive, but be stern with her.
I reckon there's about 14, 18 ministers gone in the last few years from the Labor Party. And they just kept getting
what
replaced.
Do they
run into a problem with the Premier? They can't get their views sought, or are they being overridden by the Premier? He doesn't listen to anyone.
If I could just say this, please don't engage in conversations that might get you into trouble with your employer, because we have nothing to lose by what we say. So please don't say, why did you say that on the podcast, and we're going to have to let you go or something. So be very careful what you say, even though you might want to say it.
Thank you, Sam.
I
will make an observation. I think that it's quite normal that you have people at the end of a very taxing, particularly the last 2 years, but this, so really the past term has been, I think, incredibly difficult for anyone who's in any form of leadership roles. And so I'm not surprised that you've got people on both sides of politics deciding to step away and find their future direction in private business.
The most corrupt and dishonest government probably ever been in this country's history is running this state at the minute. And if you want to look no further...
I don't think they're any different to the what else goes on in the other side of politics as well. Because they've never really been accountable.
If you want to just have a small insight into it, just look no further than iCook Foods, who were dishonestly and absolutely disgracefully run out of business for political gain for the friends and the benefactors of the Labor Party, who wanted to put their own machine into service, that industry, the chef's food, whatever it's called, a community chef, ran this company out of business, who employed disabled people, put 35 staff out of business, and haven't been accountable, except for people like us, and mentioning it occasionally, a dishonest free enterprise business run out of town for a corrupt government's benefit.
But also, this state's $167,000 billion in the red, and now it's being muted that they're going to try and sell off, is it the registration, licensing, or privatise the what used to be called the motor registration branch?
Is it Vic Roads you're talking about?
Vic something, yes. with regard to your Vic license or registration. They're going to privatise that in order to get money in to reduce the debt, similar to what, no different to what the Liberals did.
Yeah, but they criticised
when they privatised water and
gas,
our power. When we were broke after the Labor government did this, Kennett came in, privatised the whole lot, and we're up shit creek
and
now.
And isn't that the, isn't that the way it goes? They make us broke, and then the other mob come in to try and repair the ship.
Why did the Liberals even sell the instrumentalities, rationalise the number of state, the municipalities, and, got away with tech schools? There's no more tech schools around. There's only secondary education. I think they've also got a lot to answer as well.
I was actually going to jump in with a different topic at this point. I wanted to just move you forward onto an issue which bugs me a bit, and that is the ticketing at the AFL and the lack of fans turning up, or the paucity of fans turning up at physical games this year.
No, tell me, John, what does paucity mean?
Well, what do you reckon?
No, I don't know.
In the context with what Fiona said, paucity, what do you think it means?
I don't know.
Oh, did you listen to what she said? The paucity.
I did listen to
fans.
It, and I let it go over my head because I wasn't going to show my ignorance.
Oh, no, you're
ignorant.
Could
you tell me what paucity is, please?
You show your ignorance on a daily basis, John. I like the word, that was all.
Well, tell me what it means.
Well, I'm going to ask you when Fiona says the paucity of fans going to the football, what would you think that means? That there's a hell of a lot going? Would you think that means there's a hell of a lot going or not? Oh, dear, it's like speaking to the back of a handball court. Go on.
Max, your thoughts on this? What do you think?
I think paucity means it's disappointing.
Well, there's a disappointment.
There's a massive disappointment.
It's been an issue, hasn't it? That there's just been people have expected mass crowds to go back. There's been plenty of people going, but not as many as the AFL would have expected.
A lot of the decisions that AFL have made, especially for this season, that have continued on from the COVID pandemic, like, for instance, the rolling fixture, You know, Victoria's obviously a massive sports capital, but Brisbane are also doing their thing. They're doing quite well. As a Perth, in particular Fremantle, the Rolling Fixture puts out hundreds and potentially even thousands of supporters that want to get to their teams over in Victoria to watch a very good match between one of the top Victorian sides at the MCG. They have to plan 3 weeks in advance sometimes, and the flights can be cancelled last minute, which is a massive thing at the moment, or they're way too expensive. AFL haven't thought this year through at all.
Oh, really?
And
the AFL,
and
they concentrated on things other than trying to run the world and get the competition right. You've got 80,000 people go to games on the big games at the MCG, and yet we had a bloke here called someone, Mr. Williamson, who got sacked for driving a train without a mask on his own in the cabin up the front. You can't make all this stuff up. They are the most ham-fisted, incompetent people.
Who?
Run by
who?
The government.
Well, I thought we were talking about the AFL.
Well, this is talking about the paucity, Don, the low numbers, the small amount of people going to the football. That's what it means, Don, and it's just it comes from the COVID restrictions that the government put on.
No, I said that may have been true
and
last
the
year.
The shocking state of the game.
But yeah, this year, it's the AFL's fault for how they've handled it and not adjusted. They adjusted what someone could say quite well during all the lockdowns in all different states and all different restrictions. But the fact of the matter is, this year, they've been terrible. They've raised ticket prices. You can't rock up to a game and purchase tickets, so you couldn't be strolling around the city, even though it's dead, and just decided to go to the football. You have to pre-purchase tickets. They're way too expensive, and the crowd behaviour is ridiculous.
And digital ticketing, that's the other thing. A lot of people are really challenged by that. They hate it. They like a physical ticket.
Yeah.
But what people don't realise, the most basic of things, all we are is sophisticated animals. Humans are sophisticated animals. We are creatures of habit, and our habits have been upset. Football was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could plan your life around this. Now, we need a routine. As humans, we need a routine. But you do not know when your team's going to be playing. You've got to make plans weeks ahead. Not only we as supporters, but also the clubs. They're trying to organise functions. They cannot organise functions, marketing functions, to raise money because they don't know what the fixture holds. It's going out 6 weeks in advance. You can't plan a function 6 weeks in advance.
Exactly.
And this is the problem. The smartest people in business are retailers, people who sell, because they realise that people are creatures of habit, and consequently they appeal to that side of our personality. And the AFL have forgotten that we have got to have a routine.
Exactly. And it's not, when we talk about the AFL, it's AFL House. It's got nothing to do with the clubs. The clubs are just as annoyed as the fans because of what you said, and then some. Same with players and their families and all this sort of stuff. It's not just... It's the AFL clubs aren't associated with the AFL in this respect. So
the other
it's
side
not like
it,
it's fans just complaining. It's just about everyone that's not a part of AFL.
The other side of it, Max, is being an athlete, you go through a certain routine, and this routine does get upset. You might be playing Friday 1 week, you might have more than a week off, you might be playing in 5 days' time. Mm. Your routine is upset. So they've got to get back and just... set the fixture at the start of the year and then just see what happens.
Pompous, arrogant, hypocritical, insincere enabler or influencer running the competition. And people from...
Who's that?
People indirectly pushing and pulling.
Hang on, you can't talk about your friend like that.
Pushing and... I mentioned anyone's name yet. Pushing and pulling the direction of the competition, worrying about insignificant things like us having a discussion about what Nicky Winmar did 30 years ago and getting themselves involved in nonsense like that, so much so that they made us take off the podcast so that no one could hear that we had quite a sensible discussion about what that was about, and yet they worry about nonsense.
You can talk this out with your mate when you go and have coffee with him.
I'm talking about... What? I'm talking about the people running and pushing and pulling the direction of this competition.
Well, your mate's in charge.
Arrogant, ignorant clowns.
Is he still in charge?
Yeah.
Okay.
When is he finished?
End of the year, I think.
And speaking
of the replacement.
You might not think I'm talking about who I'm talking about. His size gives him away.
Speaking of football.
So please. You might not think that that's who I'm speaking about.
Speaking of football, can I ask Sam your thoughts on Robbie Williams being paid to perform at the grand final this year?
Well, Robbie Williams is a fantastic performer. The way that we're going, I'm not sure that we couldn't get a what's wrong with an Indigenous person, Australian. They seem to be on this bent about being politically correct with everything, or we could get what I think Robbie Williams is fantastic.
Help me out. Who's the guy that sings Who's Going to Make the Gravy? What's his name?
Paul Kelly.
Paul Kelly. Why did I get Paul Kelly?
I think he played last year.
He's already done it,
a whole lot of people.
Was he last year?
I think so. And last year, Baker Boy was part of the pre-game entertainment as well. From my point of view, I think Robbie Williams is a great get, but I suspect they have paid a lot more than we think that they've paid to get him here. Awesome. I mean, I don't think you'd have him here for under $3 million.
Trying to entertain people. This is what the league does. This is what the AFL does. Or be politically correct and have a whole lot of tick a whole lot of boxes. It's a bit like I see they're permanently going to fly the Indigenous flag on top of the West Gate Bridge. Well, if you want to keep signalling on a daily basis that we are a divided country and we're not one, to everyone that arrives here and says, why have you got two flags on top of the bridge? You say, because there's them and there's us. I thought we were trying to unite the country and not and unite it and say that we are one people. But they go out of their way to keep trying to divide us.
So what do you do? Do you merge the two flags or do you make a new one?
If we become a republic, or I don't care what they do with the flag, it's got the Southern Cross on it. If you don't like the red, white, and blue, put an Indigenous aspect in. I that doesn't worry me. But let's just say we're one country. Yeah,
but
so
hang on,
when
what
people
about all
arrive
the
here, they well, say, "What are the two flags for?"
What do you call all the other immigrants that have come to the country?
Exactly,
they're being marginalised: Greek, Italian,
of
German,
course,
Dutch.
This is what I say: the AFL go out of their way to try and divide and make this two separate competitions, and we're just one body, sporting body, and pay respect to everyone who plays. Don't know how long we have to go on apologising for what the people who came to this country have made it, and respect and be one people.
Can I just say, not talking about my holiday too much, but in my time in South Korea, it made me really appreciate and respect how multicultural Victoria is, in particular when it comes to people and especially food, because some of the other cuisines over there that weren't Korean by any nature, Indian, Italian, Chinese or anything, they were all terrible. But just the food here that is
lucky you never went to North Korea.
I almost went to North Korea. I was a couple of kilometers away from it.
Go ahead.
Max, I just missed that. Sorry, I was welcoming a guest into the studio. But tell us, you're talking about your trip to Korea.
So I was just mentioning a small thing of just how good Victoria is in terms of multicultural food and people. Victoria is just unmatched with anywhere in the world for all different aspects. South Korea is very far behind the game in that respect.
You've got a guest?
I do have a guest. Holy, we have a very special guest joining you, Sam.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, Don sucks.
Listen, before we go.
No, no, no. This is going to be a big surprise for Don. We're keeping this a bit of a surprise because we're about to venture into Don's deep, dark past.
Now, I'm making Johnny, can you help me out? I'm going north. I need marijuana oil. Can you tell me where I buy it, please? Astrid's or somewhere?
Well, I was...
Astrid's?
Astrid's,
yes.
Where's that?
The dispensary. But for Don, you have preempted what I was going to say, because I had some shout-outs and I was deliberately not doing them because
Ben Fordham said to put them at the end.
He said put them, but now that you've mentioned it, met a girl called Jin. Her name was Jin, G-I-N. I said, Jin? She said, yes, Jin. And she listens with her...
Yeah, that'd be short for what, Virginia?
Genevieve?
Oh.
Ginny?
I don't know what it's short for. I just said what.
Well, why don't you converse with
Ginger.
People when they meet? Why don't you just try?
Because that wasn't the. She said. I said. She
we'd
said,
like a little bit more
Sam,
information.
I listened to the podcast. I said, "I'll give you a shout out. What's your name?" She said, it's gin. I said, gin, G-I-N? She said, yes. Gin and Matt, listen, and do you know where I saw them?
At the supermarket.
In the tonic section.
It's a rhetorical question, Don. Of course you wouldn't know where I met them. This paucity of brain cells you've got swimming around in your cranium.
Can I have a guess where you met them? There's only three places. It's either the hospital, the golf course, or the supermarket.
I met them outside.
Does paucity mean small, insignificant quantities?
I just said that, Don.
No, well, you didn't say that, you used the word paucity.
You know where you can find that word?
I meant to tell you what paucity meant about 10 minutes ago.
Hawthorne,
Don, I met Gin and Matt outside Dr. James Stewart's his clinic, who does the prescriptions for the marijuana oil. They had heard on this show.
Well, I've got to go down to get some today. Where is it?
We're not advertising his surgery, his clinic. We're not saying that you should take the marijuana oil. We're saying we take it and it's done wonders for you.
I'll tell you who else is taking it.
Shut up a minute. We're not telling where Dr. James Stewart is. You can look him up if you want. This is not an ad. I'm just telling you where I met them. They're outside his dispenser, his clinic.
Where is his clinic?
I'm not.
Were they protesting?
No, they were getting a prescription to go down to.
I thought
it might
have been a little bit like Bernard Wayne's in East Melbourne.
I don't think he was going to abort Gin. I don't think she was pregnant.
Lauren Jackson. You heard of her?
Yes.
I saw an interview with her the other week. She's given away all the prescription drugs she was on. That pulled her up as far as her NBA or NBL career was concerned. She's now back in the Australian squad. She's on marijuana oil.
This is not an ad for marijuana oil.
I'm just telling you, she said, I've given away this. She was hooked on the bloody drugs.
All right.
All the anti-inflammatories, painkillers and whatever else because of her injuries.
We're not medical people and we're not
I'm not saying that, Johnny. I'm just telling you what she said.
Right. Well, that's where I met Gin.
Anyway, I'm going to go down to get some.
That's where I met Gin and Matt. So hello to them. So, Fiona, go ahead.
Thank you, Sam. Now, Sam, can I...
What about some other shout-outs? You got a million there.
Let's finish this. Do you have any other shout-outs?
What do you think of this, Fiona? Don, bloke rang up the drug line, you know, the answer machine came on. I said, if you want information on cannabis, press hash.
Boom, boom.
Did you think that was good, Don?
Hash.
We didn't have a drum roll.
Hang on, Don hasn't quite gone under that.
No, I haven't got it.
If you'd like some information, this is on the drug line.
Oh, right.
He rang up and the recording came on. If you'd like information on cannabis, press hash.
Oh, and that tells you.
Wait for this. This will be good. What, Don, what's it give you? It puts you through to the correct line,
that's
you reckon?
Right.
Okay, a couple of quick things before we wrap this up. Neighbours is going. The final episode of Neighbours goes to air on the 28th of July.
Was that Kylie?
Kylie will be returning for that final episode. Just not for the whole episode, but will be appearing with Jason Donovan in one or two scenes.
Fantastic.
Isn't that great? I think it's fabulous.
She is it the a final great one? Star, Kylie. I love that woman.
Yep.
If I can say that in this day and age.
You can, you won't get in trouble.
She is a star, Don, and...
Who?
Kylie Minogue.
Oh, okay.
You're not happy with her?
Don? She probably just doesn't know her.
Just a minute, Don. Don? Kylie Minogue, you're not happy with her?
What has she done to you, Don?
Nothing. She's a Jeff Kennett supporter.
Nothing at all.
Well, I think it's also a great show of good... I just think the fact that she and Jason Donovan have come... back and been part of that final episode of the show that really was the launching pad for their international careers.
Absolutely.
It's just a show of being great sports.
Was Guy
they
Pearce
don't need
on
to
that
do
show?
It. Yes, he
what
was.
What other people went on from there?
Chris Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth. I think the third Hemsworth brother took off. It's quite like those two, but he was on it.
He was on it, that's right.
I don't know what his name is. Though,
Delta Goodrum. She used it as the launching pad for her career. Natalie Imbruglia.
Really?
Yes. It's been gone. It's only been on air for 37 years, but it's been a really great launching pad for many,
fantastic.
Many careers.
I've never seen one. I have to say, don't watch it. It's not my speed, but it is only to be admired and those people and... Those two coming onto it have been fantastic, as Fiona said, sports to come back and do it.
Hey, now listen, we've got to take a little bit of criticism from last week's interview. off air, our interview last week, Dave Hitchcock, do you realise he was shot, he told us off air, shot 8 times in his job as a bouncer? He told us about the incident with, was it Jason Moran, drove past and shot him up at the Bombay Rock.
Hmm.
But 8 times, well, if that you, man has been
if
shot.
If you will remember, Don, I did say, have you ever had a gun pulled on you? Did you remember me asking him that?
Well, it's different, a gun being pulled on and shot.
Oh, my God. Well, do you think that would be a lead-in if he wanted to tell us that? I didn't know that, but if I'd known that, I would have said, you've been shot 8 times, have you, David? But I thought he might have told us that, but he was fantastic, Dave Hitchcock. He was.
He had a lot more. I think he had a lot more to tell us.
Well, Don, this is the art of the interviewer.
I think we'll have to sharpen our pencil a bit better, Johnny.
You should do some research. I told you, I said, we've got Dave Hitchcock coming on. You said, who? And I said, well, he's been a kickboxer. And he said, oh, well, why are we getting him on? You said, that's what you said. As you said that
the
about
Andy. The only reason you got him on is you're friendly with John Locko. He gets all the guests. He's the talent researcher.
Do you know why he gets all the guests? Because you don't get off your ass and get anyone. Not for 2 years have you got anyone.
I had one lined up this week and I've been usurped again by our host.
No, that's not true. I said bring him in.
Oh, you didn't. You said I'm not a fay with politics.
You said to me, let's get Adam Samurak on.
He hasn't returned your call.
Just Don, you said, let's get Adam. Don, you said, let's get Adam Samurak on. And I said... You said, I've got his number, I know him, I've spoken to him. I said, well, you ask him. You said, no, you ask him. So I've reached out to him twice and he hasn't got back to me, and that's fine, he doesn't have to. Why don't you try and get onto him?
Change the topic. Now, you're the television lady, Fiona. Sitting on my ass the other day again, flicking, I came across a show called Border Patrol.
Beg your pardon? Just to beg your pardon?
You seen that?
What were you doing? Beg your pardon, Don? So what were you doing?
Border Patrol, do you know it, Fiona?
Yes, I do. Well, yes.
Do they pay those particular people to be harassed by the customs? What? And they're quite willing. Those people are quite willing to do what they do or subjected to whatever they... And then it's broadcast on...
So you're talking about border security.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So when you come through customs...
Yes.
Melbourne Airport, for example, there's often signage up. And, well, not at the moment, actually, but sort of pre-pandemic when they were doing a lot of filming, you would come through customs and there would be signs up saying, you know, we're filming today, be aware. But they do need to sign some form of...
release.
Waiver, yes, to be used.
Some of that stuff's really embarrassing and really harassing.
Yeah.
Probably helps with their sentencing.
Beg your pardon?
Probably helps with their sentencing if they release the footage or do something like that.
And they also do that.
Give you a couple months off.
They also do that with the traffic patrol when you pull people up who are either think they're drunk or been, they have to ask them for a release, because a friend of mine was pulled up in Geelong and they said, we're filming for this. He said, do you mind? He said, no, I don't want you to film me. So they didn't.
Hey, somebody passed away. I don't know if you realise.
Does this have got to do with Border Patrol, Don?
No, we're just flicking.
Well, we went from Kylie Minogue.
You just brought something up. You just tweaked my memory. It's not in my notes.
We went from Kylie Minogue into Border Patrol.
Yeah, but then something
and we were just
triggered.
Chatting about Border Patrol. And they do that all over the world, that drugs thing at the airports. And I've often thought that. Why would people subject themselves to that? But you have to sign a release. You can't. That's the invasion of privacy, I think. But they do have guidelines. We had to do that on Street Talk.
We really? So you had to get a release from everybody you interviewed?
We did in the end.
Yeah.
I watched one of your Street Talks the other night on YouTube.
They're good,
very
aren't they?
Funny.
They're very good.
Very, very funny.
Thank you, Fiona.
Hey, listen, one of our other guests passed away.
Yes, well, we get on to him in a minute. Where are we going here?
Well,
do you want to stop or you've got a guest?
I have a guest here, yes. So I was wondering if we might be able to just take a little break and introduce our guest, because I think this will be enlightening for all of us and particularly for Don.
Well, I'll take that cue. So seeing but as I we're going to do that, a friend of ours who was on this podcast, Neil Curley, who we mentioned some weeks ago when they did the investiture, I think is the word for the AFL Hall of Fame and Legends, I said that Russell Ebert was made a legend, and I thought, well, if you're ever going, not against Russell Ebert, but if you're ever going to make a person a legend of AFL after Ted Whitten and Ron Barassi, Neil Curley would be the preeminent person to make. And we spoke about that. And we said that it'd be good to name people before they actually die. Russell Ebert unfortunately passed away and they made him a legend. And now Neil Curley has died and there is quite a lot of controversy, not publicly mentioned, because they don't want this information to be generally thought of. But he'd had a booster, a vaccine booster. He'd had several. He'd been advised to have it. And they say the spike that the booster gave him caused his heart problem, and that's why he died. Now, that could be a conspiracy theory, but that is quite a prominent theory going round. And there's been
that
plenty
of... That hasn't been publicised.
And it won't be. It won't be, Don, because this is not information. This would be called disinformation that around the globe, but plenty of this is happening around the world, and this is why the risks of all these vaccines that have been unproven, that don't stop you getting COVID, no matter what they say, and this is the information or the misinformation going around at the minute.
Well, I heard exactly the same, but with somebody else, 75... They had their fourth booster, 3 days, and 3 days later they died from a heart attack. And also Ray Gunston passed away, the CEO of Essendon. Well, I think it was Essendon for a while, acting father of forward at Hawthorn.
Father of Jack Gunston.
Yeah.
Yes, and really a man who dedicated an enormous amount of his life to football through roles at both the AFL and the Essendon Football Club and went on to have a very successful commercial career. So just acknowledging the passing of Ray Gunston there. Now, I think what we might do is we're going to have a little stop and welcome our guest into the studio.